for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, July the 10th, 1998, 4th of July, a family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Worth of Bella Vista, Arkansas, is the teacher of the evening.
Father, I just thank you for the privilege to stand before your people and, Father, to break the bread of life. And Father, we're not here to hear a man. We're not here to see a man, but Father, we're here to hear and to see you. And Father, I ask you by your Spirit to open eyes and to open ears. Father, because you desire that we hear what the Spirit has to say to the church in the last days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's interesting that Brother Glenn prayed the Abraham's blessing over that offering. Tonight I just want to use Abraham a little bit, and I'll develop this as we go. Seven times in Abraham's life, God separated him from something in his life. And each time he separated him, we can kind of see that then God spoke to him. And after God spoke to him, then Abraham worshiped God. So I just say unto you that separation, and by separation I mean you just separate, you don't have to leave anything. If you get closer to God, things will separate from you.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that as you separate to God, the closer you get to God. And so the closer you get to God, the better you see God. So separation brings revelation. And I can tell you that as you see Him and have the revelation of the Christ that is within you, it'll bring you to worship. And it will cause you to worship Him. You won't have to worry about how big the devil is or how big God is. God is so big that He'll swallow up the devil. Okay? And we'll see that as we go through this. Turn with me to Ezekiel, chapter 42. And I don't have an agenda. I mean, I have seven times he's separated, and if we get through all seven of them, that's fine. But the days are long here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And I understand that spiritual revelation comes hard when you're tired. So I'm not going to be long, okay? I mean, it's very easy for me to teach an hour and a half to 2 hours. I'm not going to do that if I can keep track of my watch, okay? I've asked my wife that if I get long to stand up and wave her hands or do something. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 42. Verse 20. And if we don't finish this tonight, well, we'll get it another night. We'll finish it up sometime, okay? And this is talking about Ezekiel was building a temple, okay? How many know we're building a temple? Contrary to the tradition, tradition says that God has gone away to, Jesus went away to prepare a place for us, okay? But Jesus is not building a tabernacle for you. You're building a tabernacle for Him. Isaiah 66:1 says, Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? And when you see in the Scripture where Jesus had no place to lay His head, what He's looking for is a people, a body, that He can put His head up, because it says we're to grow up into Him in all things. Who is the head. And that's what separation is going to do to you. Do any of you kind of feel like you haven't been accepted places, and like you've got some word in you that nobody wants to hear. I just want to share with you that that's good, okay? Because the same thing happened to Abraham. God told him, I'll just share with you, God told him to get out of his country, and then he told him to leave his kindred. He separated him from Lot. He separated him from the desire to get wealth. He separated him from Isaac and several other separations. And so as that happens in our life, we kind of give up everything that we hold dear. Separate him out of Egypt. And it's easy to get out of Egypt. A little harder to get the Egypt out of you, right? Okay, Ezekiel 42, verse 20. And they're measuring the temple. And he measured it by the four sides. It had a wall around about it. The wall in the Bible, Isaiah twice, in Isaiah chapter 26, and in Isaiah 60, the wall speaks of the salvation. I mean, you and I are building a wall of... We're the city, okay? I mean, you're the city. How many know you're going to descend out of heaven into the earth?
Amen.
Okay? Some of you looking at me a little strange. Okay? It's okay. Okay? The wall is a wall of salvation that you're building where nothing can penetrate the deliverance that God has wrought in your life. Nothing can penetrate. He measured the wall around about... It's interesting, this wall was 500 reeds long, 500 broad... Five is the fullness of the grace of God, okay? To make a, now listen to this, to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. Now turn on over to Ezekiel 44, and I just, verse 23, and I'll just tie this in with it. He's talking about the priests here, and he says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." And I'm going to go into these words a little bit when we get there. Now, profane, the word profane means common. I mean, there's three types of salvation talked about in the Bible. In Jude, it talks about a common salvation. A common salvation is, it's the common court or the outer court of the tabernacle of Moses. I mean, no, the outer court was for all of Israel. Okay? So that is a common salvation. Then in Hebrews, in chapter 3, it talks about so great a salvation. If we ignore so great a salvation, okay? So great a salvation talks about the holy place. Okay? But then Hebrews chapter 5 talks about an eternal salvation which comes about in the most holy place. And in Hebrews 5 and 6, it talks about going from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. And if anyone has to have the milk of the Word, it says he is unskilled in the Word of righteousness. And God wants His people skilled in the Word of righteousness to separate them from the outer court to the holy place and the most holy place. In the book of Revelation, the court that is without, it says, God says, don't even measure it. It'll be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles. There's nothing there to measure. Okay? Turn with me to James 2, verse 23. And this is one of the things about Abraham that I just want to make sure we understand. James 2, verse 23. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now listen. And it says, and he was called a friend of God. Would you all like to be called a friend of God? Okay. You got some responsibilities if God calls you his friend. Let me tell you what this means in the original. The word is philos. Okay. This friend means that he asked the hand of the bride for the bridegroom and rendered services in closing the passage and celebrating the wedding. Okay? Are y'all with me? What he's looking for, do it again. He asked the hand of the bride for the bridegroom. I'm a friend of the bridegroom. I go to the bride and ask her for her hand for Jesus Christ to be married. I'm asking you. How many of you are the bridegroom? How many of you are the bride? I'm asking your hand to be married to the bridegroom. That's the whole purpose of our teaching, right? Is so we can grow up. How do you know you're to be married to Christ? You really understand that? In Romans chapter 7, it talks about a woman having a husband. And it talks about the husband having to die before she can be married. Turn there. I told you I have no agenda. We'll just go. Romans chapter 7. Verse 2. Are we there? Okay. The woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband. How many know this is talking about the law? Okay. How many know you're born under the law? You're a slave to the law until Jesus sets you free. Okay. A woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth, but the husband, if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. As long as you're bound by the law to your husband, which is the law, which is the carnal man, the carnal mind, that part of you can't be married to Christ, because it's the law of what? Sin and death. And you're to be loosed. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from what? The law of sin and death. Now, does that mean that the law has no effect over you? No. Without the law, it says, you would not have known sin. The purpose of the law is so you know sin. The purpose of us... See, the new covenant is that God said, I'm going to write my word in your mind and place it in your heart. And I'm going to be to you a God, and you're going to be to me a people, a son. That's absolutely right. So what this is talking about, without the law, you would not know sin. How many know Jesus fulfilled the law? What if I told you you're going to fulfill the law? Okay? You are going to fulfill the law by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. Let's go on with this. Verse 3, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. If you're sinning, if you're falling under the law and you're married to Christ, guess what you are? An adulteress. That's what it said. The word said. I didn't say that. Okay. But if her husband be dead, if the old carnal nature is dead, then you're free from the first husband, from the law. Some of you get me. Okay. So. Am I under the law? No. If I sin, guess what happens? I fall back under the law. Now, we've had a lot of teachings on know no man after the flesh. See, you and I tend to know each other after the flesh. Even though the Bible says know no man after the flesh, no longer even know ye Christ after the flesh. Because Christ is a spirit. Let me know I'm a spirit. You need to look at my heart. You need to look at my intentions and not what I do. Let me know you judge yourself by your intentions, and we judge others by their actions. You know, God wants you to judge others by their intentions. Look at the heart. What's your heart like? Have you got a good heart? Are you seeking after Christ even though the flesh fails? And that's what Jesus did. That ought to give us all hope, okay? Okay, if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, right? Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should... And so this is what this is talking about. Now, this philos... Asking the hand of the bride. I mean, that's what God wants to raise up in the earth. He wants to raise up. How many know you're all ministers? I'm not here to do your ministering job for you. I'm here to help you and to prepare you to be a better minister. Right? How many know that's the purpose? The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints to do what? The work of the ministry. You all want to do the work of the ministry? Amen. Okay. Now let's go on. Let's go back into this. Separation brings revelation which leads to worship. Abraham separated, and then God spoke to him. Now listen to this. You can tell people who worship. Glenn is a worshiper. I learned that by studying it. Because a worshiper gives everything he has to God. Everything he has to God. His whole life is serving God. Okay? These are givers of all they have. They have a broken spirit, humility. They're sacrificial and they're lovers. God speaks to those that separate. That just means getting closer to Him. If God isn't speaking to you, try separating from something. Now, we're going to see this. We're going to see this in the Bible. Okay? Now, turn with me to Matthew 25, 32. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. 31 and 32 of chapter 25 of Matthew. Verse 32. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. Now listen to this. And He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Okay. Separate means to mark off from others. It means to appoint or set apart for service. Now, He's setting you apart so you can discern the holy from the profane, the holy from the common, the holy things of God from the common things of God. Now, the common things of God were the altar, the brazen altar, and the brazen laver. Okay. Now, how do we know there was a lot of death in the outer court? Okay. And now, how do we know that we go into the holy place, the holy things of God, and then sometimes we need to come back out and get on the altar? I find myself on the altar an awful lot, and I don't like it. Okay. You know what we need to do? We need to change so we don't have to get on the altar so much. Now, this word discern means to have knowledge, to understand, to decree, to teach. The word profane means common or unholy. The word holy means to sanctify, to prepare, to dedicate, to be separate, to be consecrated. It means to have the holiness of God. Now, the Bible says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." All my life I had ministers tell me you can't be holy like God's holy. Now, the Bible tells me that let God be true and every man a liar. I didn't learn that until I started searching the Scripture for myself and stopped just listening to man. Okay, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to start in on these separations that Abraham made. Chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out. That's the first separation God told Abraham to make. Get out of your country. This speaks of us and to us of our immediate locale and surroundings. A country has boundary lines. All that is familiar and comfortable. I'll never forget the first time I spoke down here. I was sitting in that room over in the basement of Glenn's house, and God said, close your notes, and I'm going to tell you what to say. And I said, oh, that's uncomfortable. But you know what? I was obedient. And if you're obedient, God always supplies your needs. And God met my needs, okay? It's that which restricts you and prevents you from walking with God. Anything that has boundaries on it, okay? It's a land that is governed by moon worship. Moon worship speaks of the powers of darkness, okay? It's teachings and traditions that say you can go so far and no farther. Ever had anybody tell you that? I was on a board of a denominational church, and we believed in deliverance, and they didn't. And they'll tell you that there's a boundary there. People will get upset with you if you leave their tradition. Okay? Now, the word country means land, earth, ground, world. It also means profane, wilderness. It means it has to do with denomination, church, doctrine. It can be your self-image of yourself. Does your self-image prevent you from going on into the things of God? Does your thoughts of your ability... Boy, that's me. I never like to give speeches, give briefings. Didn't like to be in front of anybody. Very insecure in myself. How many know God can take care of that? God can take care of that. You don't want to look bad to friends or the world, pride. You know, things that bother you to do them. Good old Moses. God said to Moses, I want you to deliver my people. You know what Moses said? Who am I? Did you ever say that? God says, I'll be with you, Moses. Next thing Moses said is, what'll I say? Ever have that problem? Listen, the Lord will fill your mouth. The next thing he said is, they won't believe what I'm telling them. A lot of excuses, right? I mean, God met Moses' need also. Okay. You allow boundaries to be set. How many know your mind can be a boundary? Well, I can't remember or memorize scripture. You can ask my wife. I can't remember anything except scripture. And God just, when I need scripture, God just, there's scripture. Now, I'm not testing him, okay? Because if he don't show up, I'll probably sit down. But he always is there when you need him if you're obedient to him. Listen, this country is what you can't have in God and what you can't have now. How many know that God wants... How many know God Jesus Christ inherited all things? How many know everything he has inherited he's given to you? Everything he has, he's given to you. Now listen, he's the owner, you're the inheritor. Don't forget that. He's the owner, he's the possessor of it, you're the inheritor. You're the inheritor. This is his will and what he's left you. And God's people don't even read it. And so they don't know what they have. They don't know who they are, and they're confused. They're in Babylon, okay? It's darkness, it's idolatry. You like familiar surroundings, spirits of like faith. Everybody like that? Okay. Don't tell me anything new. It was good enough for my mother and my father. God calls that the commandments of our fathers and the tradition of men. And he hates it. Turn with me to Jeremiah 51, verse 6. I'm going to start with verse 6 of Jeremiah 51. Flee out. That really means make a separation, okay? Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Now, I've been many denominations in my life. And I guess I knew I had a soul, but I didn't know it needed saved. Or if I did know it needed saved, I thought that when I accepted Christ, it was saved. Okay? I don't think I was ever taught that God would have you be preserved blameless spirit, soul, and body. You all understand that? I'm not sure you do. Okay? I don't see everybody saying, yes, I understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. When you're joined, when you accept Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior, the seed is planted in your heart and your spirit is one with Christ. It cannot be destroyed. I tell you right now, your soul is not safe. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And if you don't receive the engrafted word, your soul is not saved. You see, 1 Corinthians, or maybe 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, I was delivered, I am being delivered, and I am yet to be delivered. Psalms 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Okay? Now, how do you get the body? That's how your soul gets saved, is by this word. You ought to meditate on it day and night, the Bible says. I feel like I'm preaching. I just want to teach. Okay. In the book of Matthew, it says, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye... How many of your inheritance is in light? Colossians tells you. Translated. Okay? If your eye be single. You know what eye that is? Ephesians 1:18. The eye of your understanding being enlightened, you may know the hope of His glory. Okay? And the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And it has to do with the spirit, soul, and body of man. Let me go back into this. Okay. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Babylon. Babylon isn't something with a big dragon's head on it. Babylon, folks, is the church. What, you say, not my church. Oh, Babylon. Remember when they built the Tower of Babel? Babel means confusion. The tower just speaks and is a type and shadow of religion. It's religious confusion. And you think the church isn't confused about the Word of God and what's happening? So it says, flee out of Babylon. Why do you flee out of Babylon? So I won't be confused anymore. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand and hath made all the earth drunken. How's the earth become drunken? The nations have drunken of her wine. Now, I'm not going to make it, but tomorrow I wanted to teach on the corn, the wine, and the oil, and there's certainly a difference between two wines. Babylon has a wine as well as the church that is from above. Okay? The Jerusalem that is above is the mother of us all, it says in Galatians. The church of Hagar is in the Israel, or the Jerusalem that now is. Natural-minded teacher. Not spiritually discerning by the Spirit. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain, if so she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, everyone, into where? His own country. Now, Abraham spent a lot of time looking for a country. Okay? Let me go on here. For her judgment reacheth in unto where? Heaven. Now, my good brother here, Melvin, I believe his first name is, commented about heaven. You all know where heaven is or what heaven is? In case you don't, I want to show it to you with your eyes so you can hear it with your ears. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, and I believe it's chapter 12. Before I start this, just let me make a statement, and then I'm going to back it up with Scripture, hopefully. You'll have to see it by the Spirit, okay? Heaven is within you. Heaven is a state of being. Okay, now let me just show you that, why I believe that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Yes. I knew a man in Christ. Now listen, Paul is saying here, I knew a man in Christ. He didn't say, I know a man who has Christ in him and it's the hope of his glory. He didn't say that. Colossians says Christ in you is the hope of glory, but it says that we are going to go, supposed to go on to teach and understand and become perfect in Him. Keep your finger there. Turn to me to Colossians. You need to see that. I can tell. Colossians. Turn to me to Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 27. How many know this is a mystery? This is the hidden things of God. How many know that you are supposed to understand all the hidden things of God? Proverbs says it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. And I'll guarantee you, if you pray about it and believe that the Spirit is going to show you the things in the Bible, He'll show them to you. Now, they won't come as fast as you want them to come, but He will show them to you. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But let's go on. Whom we preach. Are you all there? Colossians 1, 26, 27, 28. 28. Whom we teach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? That we may present every man perfect. Now get this. It's no longer Christ in you. It's you in Christ. And for you to be in Christ, if you study it out, it's like a garment that just kind of slips down over you and clothes you. You're being clothed with a garment of righteousness. And you can't see it. Sometimes I can. And you can't feel it, but sometimes I even feel it. And you know what's happened? We keep wondering, well, I've never seen a man that overcome death yet. All I can tell you is that 1 Corinthians 15 says we shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. And it goes on and tell you, in a moment, the word moment is atomos. It's the lowest division that man can make. It's as low as it gets. But the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder of spirit and soul, and the Word of God is going to divide at that moment, and man's going to be changed. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. Okay? Okay. Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Maybe we'll get the country done tonight. That's about all. Well, we don't want to go too long. Okay, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. 14 in the Bible is a number of deliverance, salvation, redemption. Okay? Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to where? You know what third means in the original? Third. It means third. I thought that was going to be some word that would tell me a whole lot about it. It just said third. Now listen, if there is a third heaven, God must be counting. There must be a second and a first. Or how would He know it was third? Okay? It's the highest heaven I can find. I've had a lot of people tell me there are more heavens above this. And I'm not saying there isn't. But I'm telling them, show me in the Word, and they haven't. Okay? Okay, but let's go on to this. One caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into where? Paradise. Now, Paul says, the man Paul knew, okay,
He was caught up into the third heaven, and he was caught up into paradise. So the third heaven must be God's paradise. Now, the word paradise, the word is gan in the original, in the Greek. Gan means a garden. A guarded place. It means to hedge about. Okay? So, this sounds almost like the Garden of Eden. I don't want to lose you. Okay, this man was caught up to the third heaven, to the paradise of God. Turn with me to Luke. Luke. And we're going to go to the resurrection, or the crucifixion. And this is going to be Luke chapter 23. Let's just go. I'm going to do verse 39. One of the malefactors happened to be the one on the left, okay? Which were hanged, railing, saying, "If thou be Christ." Suppose Jesus ever heard that terminology before he got to the cross? You see, there were three men on the cross. It's a picture of three men on the cross. I mean, I believe there are three men on the cross, okay? The man in the center was God in the flesh. The man on the left was Satan in the flesh. And the man on the right, who is restored to paradise, is Adam in the flesh. It's a picture of you and I being restored to the kingdom, okay? But let's go on here. It says, verse 42, and he said unto... Let's go back. Verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly..." You know, you and I are justly crucified. Jesus was not justly crucified. He was crucified for you and I. Okay? "For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath nothing, done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into what? Thy kingdom." What did Jesus say to him? "Today..." Where? "In paradise." Well, now, did Jesus not take him where he wanted to go? Certainly he did. So, the third heaven and the paradise of God and the kingdom of God are one and the same. Now turn with me to chapter 11. Luke. We're going to look at the kingdom. Now, I'm not going there. Let's go to 17. That's better. Luke 17. About verse 20. And this is the scribes and Pharisees asking Jesus when the kingdom would come. Any of you want to know when the kingdom will come? When will the kingdom come? Here. Oh. Okay. Let's look at this. Verse 20. "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with..." You can't see it. Well, now, if the kingdom is heaven, did you ever look for a heaven that you could see? You ever look for a house that might be built that you could live in? That's not this house. This is the house he's building right here. Okay? It's a spiritual house that God is building. Okay, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, "Lo here," or "Lo there," for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Hold your finger there. Turn with me to Song of Solomon. Now see, this paradise is a garden. And the Song of Solomon is the song of songs. It's the best song in the Bible. The only thing is, God's people can't understand it. Okay? How many know you can understand the Song of Solomon? Okay? It's not something filthy. No, they didn't want it read. It's so explicit. It's a love song. It's a song of Jesus Christ for His bride. And it pictures a Solomon and a Shulamite. Solomon means Prince of Peace, and the word Shulamite is a feminine form of Solomon. She's a princess of peace. And he's describing you and I. Okay? But what I want to get out of all of this, verse 12 of chapter 4. And he's talking to her. And he says, a garden, or let me rephrase that. A paradise enclosed is my sister, my spouse. You're the garden. But listen, she's got a problem here in Song of Solomon. For right now, it gets fixed pretty soon. But it says, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. In your garden, all the water in your garden, is it sealed and is it shut up? God wants to release it. He wants to open you up so you can flow out to others. That's the whole purpose of you being His garden, is so you can flow to others so they can receive the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Okay. I think it's Romans. Let me find it. You need to see it, okay? Romans 10:17. That's a good answer. I'll take that one. Romans 10:17. No, that's not it. Romans what, 16? Let's go to 16. That's faith, and that's a good one. Romans 14:17. Okay. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But what is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Now let me rephrase that. I'm just going to tell you that the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. Okay? The kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. Now when you get in the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, how many know that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead you and guide you into all truth and show you things to come? Without the Holy Spirit, you'll not have the revelation of the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to show you that. I'm going to take you to John 3. Righteousness. Big word. You know what righteousness is? Doing what's right. I mean, it's so simple. Doing what's right. Now, how do you know that's hard to do? You just look at our elected officials and you can see it's very difficult to do. It's just doing what's right. Now, not in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God. Now, if you will do what's right, I'll guarantee you, you'll have peace. Okay? Why? Because right, the kingdom is progressive. If you do what's right, God will just, you'll be at peace. Only time I'm never at peace is when I don't do what's right. Okay? And if you have peace, guess what comes with peace? Joy. You're happy all the time. Do people wonder why you're always so happy? I'm a rural letter carrier, and I work at the post office. And it's not a godly place. And sometimes people get so upset with me because, you see, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm happy. And I don't care how much mail they bring in that truck, it doesn't bother me. I got to be there all day probably anyway. And so you just do it. But you know, I'm happy not because of my job or anything like that. It's because I do what's right. And I have peace because I do it. And God fills me full of joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I have no trouble doing my job. I mean, see, the kingdom of God is so practical for everybody that I just want everybody to understand it. Okay. Yes, I am. I'm thankful. I really am. Okay. Now I'll just tell you, Abraham was told to get out, and Abraham's country was Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, that's where he was when God told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I'll just tell you what it means, and then we're going to go on to one more of these, and I'm going to quit. The next one will have to be quicker than this one, that's for sure. Ur of the Chaldees means clod breakers, moon worship. Ur of the Chaldees has to do with a natural man with a natural mind. How many of you read your Bible and try to understand with a natural mind? How many know the Bible says you can't do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you read it all, the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are foolishness unto him. But I'm telling you, if you ask Jesus Christ by the Spirit to reveal to you the Word, and then you read it and believe He is. Now listen, you can't just take 10 minutes. How many know it's hard work to understand the Bible? How many know it takes time? How many know it doesn't just take hours, it takes days and weeks and years? I taught the book of Genesis at my fellowship. Would you believe we only did it on Wednesday nights, and we was there 4.5 years teaching the book of Genesis? But now, if you understand the book of Genesis, if you understand the beginnings, it's a whole lot easier to understand what comes after that. So I'm not saying it's easy, but God will meet you if you're diligent. The Word says, study to show yourself approved. A workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay. I believe I'm going to quit right here. I believe we've had enough. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Father, anything that was spoken here not by the Spirit, I ask the breath of God to blow across it and remove it from our mind. But Father, that which is of the Spirit, I just pray that You bring it into substance. And Father, it goes from the mind to the heart. And Father, that which is in the heart, for with a heart man believes unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made to our deliverance and our salvation. And Father, I pray that what's in the heart will be the salvation of the soul, and it'll rise up, and it'll cause transformation and bring change to the lives of those that have heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And the next time I speak, we're going to pick right up at tomorrow night. We'll pick up with kindred, okay? And we got 6 more to go, so I'm going to pick up speed. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.